I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's great to have you with us. National security versus individual privacy. That's where we want to start today, with the latest chapter in the tussle between the FBI and Apple. For months, the U.S. government tried to get Apple to help it break into the iPhone owned by one of the San Bernardino attackers. Apple said no, the Fed sued, but now the FBI says it's managed to get into the phone, and it may have gotten some help from an Israeli digital forensics company. David Sanger is a national security correspondent for The New York Times. He says it's likely that an Israel-based company called Cellbrite assisted the FBI.
We know this largely because on the day the FBI said it had an alternative, if you dug deeply into the announcements that the General Services Administration puts out about contracts that they have recently let, Cellbrite got a very small one with the FBI for help in unspecified computer programming issues. So it would seem to make sense that they were the one. But they have not said that they had the contract, and they have certainly not said what their technique would be. We suspect what it would be actually going into the hardware of the iPhone itself and burring down some glue that covers certain chips and getting at a certain code that might allow them to unlock the physical memory of the chip.
I mean, the U.S. government argued for months that this was impossible. What's your read on what was happening behind the scenes here?
Well, you know, there's going to be any number of conspiracy theories about what went on here. One possibility is that the FBI seized on the moment of the San Bernardino attacks and the horror of that to set a precedent in a pretty compelling case for why it is that you need to be able to get inside cell phones sometimes, and thought that would build up a lot of support for that. And they did build up a fair bit of support, but they also built up and ran into an unprecedented amount of public opposition, most of it fueled by Apple accurately describing what the potential downsides in privacy were for users if this was the precedent that was set. It's also possible that the FBI got concerned that they were going to go lose their own case and decided it was better to get into the phone and pick another case to try to get at.
So the bowling pins are now set up for the next time someone gets a ball. Do you expect this method, the way they used to open the phone in the San Bernardino case, could it be used on phones in other cases in the future?
Well, I'm sure it's been used in the past, and I'm sure they will attempt to do it in the future. Apple will spend a lot of time trying to figure out how they got into this phone, because clearly Apple is sort of duty-bound to its users to go figure out what this flaw was and cure it.
It's kind of the worst-case scenario for everybody. I mean, no one comes out of this looking good, do they?
In some ways, no, but I think there's been a lot of good done by this entire event, because I think Americans who sort of vaguely understood the encryption debate but couldn't really get their heads around it until it was about something very concrete, now have a very concrete sense of it. And, you know, this gets at some core issues, the national security issues on the one hand, of the government's need to find a legal way in to any source of data, that if you get a legal subpoena, you've got to go comply with it. And people's sense that their iPhones are only phones incidentally, that, you know, you use it for the phone function, but fundamentally, it's your whole life. It's your medical records. It's the pictures of your kids. It's your texts with your spouse. It's your texts with everybody else. That anybody who's got access to the whole inside of the phone has access to your whole life. And that's very different than a wiretap.
Finally, what's your overall sense of Israel's high-tech landscape? I mean, is it as muscular as Silicon Valley?
It's quite good, and they're trying to make it better. They have compulsory military service, as you know. But they pick out some of the best and brightest students and put them in Unit 8200, which is the military unit that is basically the equivalent of the National Security Agency. People serve in it for their 2 or 3 years service, but by their mid-late 20s, they get out with their Unit 8200 friends, and they go off and do startups. And you see startups in Israel all around the Unit 8200 alumni. And they're now actually building a campus for many of these startups outside of Tel Aviv. And so a lot of these companies are spin-offs of one of the premier surveillance and cyber agencies, intelligence agencies, and the one, of course, that did with the United States the attacks on Iran's nuclear centrifuges.
David Sanger, the national security correspondent for The New York Times, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.